In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Gospels record many miracles performed by our Lord during his earthly ministry. The evangelists tell us Jesus also performed many other miracles. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Which were not individually recorded. Luke, for instance, writes, "All those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." Luke also describes another occasion when a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon came to hear Jesus and to be healed of their diseases. Those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. It's no wonder that later on Peter would summarize Jesus' ministry. "He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Knowing that Jesus performed so many healings, which were not recorded individually, a question arises as we consider today's gospel. Why did God inspire Luke to record this particular healing? What is there about it that should capture our attention? What particular message does it convey for us to hear and to take to heart? At the beginning, nothing is unusual. Jesus was often traveling, walking through the land. Many times before, people who were sick had approached Jesus, asking him for help. News about Jesus had spread far and wide. For nearly 3 years, he had been the hope of the hopeless, helping with miraculous power those whose only hope was a miracle. Thus, these 10 men with leprosy, men whose disease had caused them to be expelled from their community, who could no longer participate in family or society or congregation, called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That they called him Master indicates that these men believed Jesus had authority. They called out to him because of the reports they had heard. And yet they don't ask him merely for healing or cleansing. Their plea is all-encompassing. They cry out for mercy. To ask for mercy is to ask to be spared the punishment one deserves. To ask for mercy is to acknowledge a lack of merit or worthiness. To ask for mercy is to appeal for compassion. These 10 lepers approached Jesus as supplicants, humbly pleading for the help they knew he had no obligation to give them, but pleading for his help nonetheless. that Jesus had mercy on them should be no surprise. It's something he had done repeatedly in the past. In fact, as you read the Gospels, when people request mercy of Jesus, he always responds with mercy. In this case, however, he does things a bit differently. When he sees the 10 leprous men, rather than cleansing them immediately and then sending them on their way, Jesus sends them on their way to the priests. According to the law recorded in Leviticus, it was the priests who could certify that a leper had been cleansed. When this had been done, the former leper would offer an appropriate sacrifice at the temple, and then he could go back to his home and rejoin his family. Jesus' instruction to these men implies that they would be cleansed from their disease. Otherwise, there would have been no reason for them to go and show themselves to the priests. But it's only as they journey that they are cleansed and made whole. Once again, Jesus' authority and compassion are revealed in a miracle of healing. As always, he has mercy on the helpless and uses his power to heal and restore. Sickness and death, which entered human experience when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, are rolled back. Jesus brings cleansing and new life. This is the message conveyed again and again in Jesus' miracles of healing. But there's something more here. Luke doesn't end this account, as so many others end, with the people being healed or cleansed, and then that's it. One of the lepers, Luke writes, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. This man seems to have suddenly broken off his journey to the priests. As important as it was for a leper to be certified as having been cleansed, for this man, there was something of even more pressing importance. On seeing that he was healed, he turned around, and as he went back along the road, he praised God. He told people what had happened to him. He gave God credit for the healing he had experienced. With a loud voice, Luke says, he declared the goodness and power of God. He told everyone what God had done for him. And then when he arrived back where he had started, he bowed to the ground at Jesus' feet and gave him heartfelt thanks for his mercy. Whether this man knew that Jesus was the Son of God in human flesh, we can't tell from this reading. But he did know that he had been healed by God's power, and that it was Jesus who had invoked this power on his behalf. His heart was overflowing with joy and gratitude as he bowed down at Jesus' feet in humble thankfulness. Certainly, this man's response was good and right. The way Jesus answers him makes this clear. To be a believer is to do what this man did. Looking to Jesus for mercy when life is difficult, and giving thanks and praise to God when life has gone well. This is really what is involved in following the first commandment. Our God, whether that be the true God or a false God, is the one to whom we look for help in time of trouble, and the one to whom we give credit when life is good. This man, a Samaritan, not a member of God's people but a foreigner, by his behavior, showed that the true God was his God. What about the nine? At least some of whom were apparently children of Israel, members of God's covenant people. Could it be that they were not glad and joyful as they saw that they were healed? That doesn't seem possible. As they walked along, it was as if the dark clouds which had so long oppressed them suddenly gave way to brilliant sunlight. Cleansing from leprosy changed their lives. Lives bound to end in sorrow and despair suddenly opened up to restored hope and new possibility. How could they not rejoice and be glad? As they walked along, they must have congratulated one another on their good fortune and marveled at what a wonderful idea it had been to ask Jesus to have mercy on them. They knew they had received mercy. Yet they didn't give credit where credit was due. Didn't praise God, didn't give thanks to Jesus. And thus they brought judgment on themselves. Where are the nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? This account clearly shows us the difference between a godly response of praise and thanks for everything that the Lord has done for us, and a joy and gladness which thanklessly ignores the one who has shown us mercy. In commending the Samaritan for giving praise to God, Jesus also reveals the sin of failing to praise God, though we have received rich blessings from his hand. Would that we had never reflected the response of the nine in thankless joy or gladness without gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. But Jesus has more to say. When the Samaritan returned to Jesus in thanksgiving, he received a blessing he had not expected. Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." The translation we heard earlier put it, "Your faith has made you well." But the primary meaning of the word Luke used here is saved. All 10 lepers had received mercy in being cleansed. The Lord lets his rain fall on the just and the unjust. But as the reading closes, Jesus identifies only one as having been saved. Through faith, the Samaritan received not just cleansing from leprosy, but forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. These gifts, forgiveness, life, and salvation, Christ gives to you by his word, in holy baptism, through holy absolution, and as you eat and drink his very body and blood shed for you. As you gather for worship, Jesus gives you all of these treasures that he has won for you as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When you cry out, "Lord, have mercy," he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Through faith, Jesus has cleansed and redeemed you from every sin. It's true. Believe it. God grant you faith in his sure promises of mercy and salvation, and a thankful heart, which gives glory to him in all things. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.